Only one movement has survived. It is the National Socialist German Labour Party. Today, I am more convinced than ever before that though they may combat us and try to paralyze our movement, and though pettifogging party ministers may forbid us the right of free speech, they cannot prevent the triumph of our ideas. When the present system of statal administration, and even the names of the political parties that represent it, will be forgotten, the programmatic basis of the National Socialist movement will supply the groundwork on which the future state will be built. The meetings which we held before January 1920 had enabled us to collect the financial means that were necessary to have our first pamphlets and posters and programmes printed. I shall bring the first part of this book to a close by referring to our first great mass meeting, because that meeting marked the occasion on which our framework as a small party had to be broken up, and we started to become the most powerful factor of this epoch in the influence we exercised on public opinion. At that time, my chief anxiety was that we might not fill the hall, and that we might have to face empty benches. I myself was firmly convinced that if only the people would come, this day would turn out a great success for the young movement. That was my feeling as I waited impatiently for the hour to come. It had been announced that the meeting would begin at 7:30. A quarter of an hour before the opening time, I walked through the chief hall of the Hofbrauhaus on the Platz in Munich, and my heart was nearly bursting with joy. The great hall, for at that time it seemed very big to me, was filled to overflowing. Nearly 2,000 people were present. And, above all, those people had come whom we had always wished to reach. More than half the audience consisted of persons who seemed to be communists or independents. Our first great demonstration was destined, in their view, to come to an abrupt end. But things happened otherwise. When the first speaker had finished, I got up to speak. After a few minutes, I was met with a hailstorm of interruptions, and violent encounters broke out in the body of the hall. A handful of my loyal war comrades, and some other followers, grappled with the disturbers and restored order in a little while. I was able to continue my speech. After half an hour, the applause began to drown the interruptions and the hootings. Then interruptions gradually ceased, and applause took their place. When I finally came to explain the 25 points, and laid them point after point before the masses gathered there, and asked them to pass their own judgment on each point, one point after another was accepted with increasing enthusiasm. When the last point was reached, I had before me a hall full of people united by a new conviction, a new faith, and a new will. Nearly 4 hours had passed when the hall began to clear. As the masses streamed towards the exits, crammed shoulder to shoulder, shoving and pushing, I knew that a movement was now set afoot among the German people which would never pass into oblivion. A fire was enkindled, from whose glowing heat the sword would be fashioned which would restore freedom to the German Siegfried, and bring back life to the German nation. beside the revival which I then foresaw. I also felt that the goddess of vengeance was now getting ready to redress the treason of the 9th of November 1918. The hall was emptied. The movement was on the march. The end.